Our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Thessalonians, these words, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is interesting that when the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonian Christians about the return of Christ on the last day, he prefaces his comments by saying simply, you have no need to have anything written to you about that subject. That is, Paul did not need to lay before those first century Christians how the end times were going to play out. How first there would be one thing that would occur, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then the return of Christ. Why? Why no complex detail concerning the return of Christ on the last day? Paul tells us, because when Christ returns, it will be like a thief in the night. That is, it will happen, that return, at a time when we do not expect it to happen. In the gospel reading, it was the bridegroom arriving about midnight and the cry going up suddenly, "Here's the bridegroom." So our epistle reading as well, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. We do not know when Christ will return. We do not know when Christ will return. But what we do know is that when it happens, it will be unexpected, at a moment even when it is least expected, a time, an hour, when the world will be caught off guard. And so the lesson of the gospel reading, we should always be ready. We should always be ready for the return of our Lord, our hearts filled with faith in Him, ready to welcome Him, ready to rejoice in His appearance, ready to return with Him to heaven, a new heaven and a new earth, which are to be a joy, and we, the people within it, a gladness, being glad and rejoicing forever. That truly will be a wonderful occurrence, a wondrous event, an experience beyond all telling. So why then all the intrigue? Why the subterfuge? Why are there those who would make out of the return of Christ some great mystery of occurrences and clues and obscure prophecies and secret messages that only the few will grasp and understand and thus be ready for when Christ does appear on the last day? Why? I suppose it's because we all, to a certain extent, like a good conspiracy theory. We like being able to recognize when one exists and then be able to unmask it so we are not taken in by it, or even what is better, to become part of it, to be one of the Illuminati, one of those who are in the know, while most others are not. I mean, such a treatment of the return of Christ is much more interesting than simply the statement, "Christ is returning, but we don't know when, so we must all be ready to welcome Him with the arms of faith." I mean, that message is simple. It's easy to understand and, well, a bit more daunting, perhaps. A bit more daunting, that simple message. You know, part of getting through college is learning that you don't need to know a subject in its entirety. You just need to know what's going to be on the final exam. Now, could it be that some look at the Christian life in that way, that the Christian life is not a life lived daily in faith in Christ, but instead the Christian life is one of figuring out when He will return, and so what we must do right before that happens in order to pass the ultimate final exam administered by Jesus Christ? Well, let's not be fooled here. The return of Christ is not a final exam of some sort. You know, one of the reasons we need to be in the Scriptures daily, reading them, learning them, inwardly digesting them. One of the reasons that we should pray continually throughout the day. One of the reasons that we should gather together with other Christians to worship as often as possible is so that we, in fact, will be ready, our hearts filled with faith, for when Christ returns. Well, that's a threat, Pastor. That's a threat. Don't like a threat. I should read my Bible not out of fear, but out of love. So that is when I do that. And that's when I go to church as well, when I'm feeling just right. And if I'm okay with the world and my place in it, I'll read my Bible and I might even go to church. But I don't think it's right for me to be threatened with the return of Christ in order for me to do those things. My answer, of course, is why not? Why not? If you take the gracious proclamation of the gospel that your sins are forgiven through faith in Christ, who will appear on the last day to take you to be with him forever, if you take that fact to be a threat, then you're looking at it the wrong way. Your old Adam is in control of your life, causing you to run in fear away from the last day and not run in love toward the last day. So why not take control of your old Adam and say simply, it's not a threat. It's a promise, a wondrous promise. And how little it is for me to take a few moments each day to read the Word of God and to pray, if that is what it's going to take to be ready for the return of Christ. Another way we can look at the return of Christ and our preparation for it is to consider our preparation for the day of our death. That is to consider our preparation for the day of our death. Do we, after all, spend all sorts of time trying to figure out exactly when that day will be? I mean, think about it. How would we live if that were so? But we don't do that, do we? Does anyone spend copious amounts of time during their lives trying to figure out the exact date of their death? They don't, do they? Sure, there are those who don't think about it at all. And there are those who live in fear of that day. But the level-headed do what? Live from day to day to day with that knowledge before them and live in such a way that they are prepared for it to the extent that they can be. So they make sure they have a will in place and their house is in order and loved ones are cared for and favorite things passed on to one person or another. Could it even be that some people spend more time preparing in such a way for their own deaths than they do for the return of Christ? Perhaps so. But the fact of the matter is that they do. They know the day is coming, so they prepare. We know Christ is returning on the last day, so we prepare. How? By doing those things which increase our faith. How is our faith increased? How is it increased? By remaining in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul to the Roman Corinthians, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it's written, the righteous shall live by faith." And in another place, chapter 10 of Romans, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Well, the Scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." If our faith is to remain strong and even to increase, we need to remain in the Word of Christ, the preaching of the Word of Christ, the hearing of the Word of Christ. When worship then is missed, something of extreme importance is missed. Something essential for our ongoing preparation for the return of Jesus Christ on the last day. But it should also here be noted that our faith in Jesus Christ is increased not only by remaining in the Word of Christ, but in ridding our lives of those things which hinder our faith or weaken our faith or even destroy our faith. So Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that is the saints of the Old Testament, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What then is the Christian life, but that life that is lived daily in preparation for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the last day? Our life in Christ is last day living. Our life in Christ is last day living. It is a life lived with a realization that every day could be the last day, not simply of our lives, but of life as we know it. So the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthian Christians, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll hear the last trumpet, and we shall be changed. So, how then do we measure ourselves? To what do we look to decide how we will be? That is, how we will live, how we will speak. Do we look around ourselves at the world and simply follow its suggestions? Of course not. But how about those evangelical Christians who seem to have the inside track on the Lord's return with their intricate theories and complex arguments for this age or that, the day of the return of the Lord being the day which they themselves and they themselves alone know? That's not the answer either. For when the Lord returns to judge the living and the dead, his return will be like a thief in the night, that is, at a time when he is not expected. And that being so, our Lord's return must always be expected. Our life of faith daily then always must be lived. Our forgiveness in Christ daily assured until that last day, that final day, that moment when there will be no more days to live. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.